I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
With Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
Level two, this is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci, the pimp, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between, throwing it down. The Twisted Tuesday continues, as does the National Basketball Association playoffs. The Orlando Magic shocked the basketball world and beat the Milwaukee Bucks in game one. Although, should we be shocked after the Milwaukee Bucks lost his 19.5-point favorites last week to the Brooklyn Nets. The Los Angeles Lakers, the heavily hyped Los Angeles Lakers, go down in game one to the Portland Trailblazers. Not surprising, to be honest, when you consider the Portland Trailblazers had played nine very, very competitive basketball games, high pressure, important basketball games, and the Los Angeles Lakers were flat. And in fact, they were flatter than a two-day-old Coke to start the basketball game. But they picked it up after that. Game two is going to be very, very interesting. But the fact of the matter is, whether the Los Angeles Lakers were flat or not, the Los Angeles Lakers are not a good three-point shooting team. And we talked about this last night, actually, and the Lakers only connect on 34% of their three-point shots. And we talked about the Portland Trailblazers, who connect on nearly 38% of their shots from behind the arc. And what happened tonight? Portland actually hit 38% from three. They're the third best three-point shooting team in the National Basketball Association. The Lakers are the 22nd best three-point shooting team in the association. And tonight, the Lakers shot 15%. 15% from behind the arc. Like, it's hard to put up a percentage point that's, like, lower than my report cards when I went to school, but the Lakers managed it, like, 15%. Like, come on. Like, 15 freaking percent from three-point territory. So LeBron can put up all the triple-doubles that he wants. Unless the Lakers start hitting some shots from the outside, this could be actually a pretty short series, and it's going to be Portland that rolls on. Speaking of rolling on, the New York Islanders were about to roll on. The Washington Capitals bang back from a 2-0 deficit. They extend the series. New York Islander fan Colonel Kurt steps up and in from Long Island. We'll talk some baseball as well. I want to get into this unwritten rules and all that other code type of stuff. Sports Rage Late Night continues. Vent your rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
Sports Rage late night. Shout out to all of our radio affiliates, whatever city you're joining us in right now. I am Gabe Morenci. We're throwing it down here on the Twisted Tuesday. Shout out to Steve Merrill for stepping up and in. And, of course, shout out to everybody in San Diego and Los Angeles. We welcome the mightier 1090. To the party. We also welcome George Kurtz. It's not a party unless George Kurtz is here. Let's send it to Long Island, New York. George Kurtz steps up and in. George Kurtz. How you doing, George?
Well, it certainly wasn't a good night for my sports teams, Gabe, but good morning to you.
Yeah, good night. Good evening, good night, good morning. Yeah, it's always happy hour somewhere. You're right. So, the New York Islanders. So What loss upset you more, the New York Islanders or the New York Yankees? And I got, listen, man, the Islanders actually a playoff game, but which one you said wasn't a good night. So obviously you're not happy about the Yankees loss. Which one upset you more?
Well, did the Islanders, right? It is a playoff loss. I know, hey, you have a 3-0 lead, so it's 3-1. No big deal. Only four teams have come back down 3-0. Islanders are still looking pretty good. Go with the Islanders, but I don't know, something about the Rays. I really don't like them, so I don't like to see the Yankees lose to them either. They've now lost to the Rays 4 out of 5 times.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, actually, because the Yankees just wrapped up a series with the Boston Red Sox, which is, you know, supposedly the big rivalry and, you know, one of the greatest rivalries in sports and all that, but looks like it's going to be a little while. I mean, the Red Sox are an embarrassment, and it's a rivalry in name only. Right now, or at least this year. But truth be told, if you want to talk about from a competitive standpoint, George, the Yankees and the Rays, I mean, they're sort of coming for you, aren't they? Isn't the Yankees and the Rays sort of like a burgeoning little mini rivalry? Look, you're a hardcore Yankee fan, and you just said it. They're starting to piss you off.
Well, yeah, I think you're right. The Red Sox, listen, they're not a very good team. They've got some problems. I mean, I think it was Yankee they interviewed yesterday, but the Yankee said after the game, they got no pitching over there. I mean, you don't see your team say that.
No,
the Yankee said that about the Red Sox, that they have no pitching over there. He goes, oh, I think he said they have no starters. Those guys aren't starters. I mean, boy, that's not saying nice things about Martin
Perez. That's violating.
And the rest of these
guys. That's violating the unwritten rules. That's got to be a violation of the code. We'll get to that in a second. I think it says in the code book, don't say the other team's pitchers suck.
Yeah, it probably does say. But the Yankees and Rays, yeah, that's definitely becoming a rivalry. I think what you're seeing is the Rays, they're not afraid of the Yankees. And they haven't been for years. I mean, if you watch the Yankees-Rays game, the Rays, I'm not going to say they throw at the Yankees, but they're not afraid to come up and in. Remember, CeCe, this is why he got suspended at the beginning of last year, because he felt he had to retaliate for this. Last weekend, it happened again several times. Aaron Boone actually complained about it to the home plate, that they keep throwing up high, yet nothing's happening here. The problem is a lot of teams know, yeah, you can throw open high to the Yankees because they have nobody who will retaliate. You know, there's nobody on that mound who's going to come back at him. I don't know what Gerrit Cole will do. You know, and maybe you're not worried about Tanaka or anybody else. Montgomery, they can't hurt you anyway if they come at you. But the Yankees don't have that guy who can, you know, brush somebody back and say, hey, leave our hitters alone. I think the Rays are a little bit of the younger brother syndrome. And I think they're coming out of their shell now. They're not afraid of the Yankees whatsoever.
Yeah, it used to be that the Rays were just sort of that cute story that, oh, look at the little Tampa that don't have any fans and doesn't have any money. But now you realize, no, they're for real. And they're like the type of dudes that are trying to steal your hot wife, Kurtz. You know what I mean? Like you said, like they're hanging around. It's like, they're not leaving. And Tampa is not intimidated by the Yankees' payroll. They're not intimidated by the Yankees' reputation, etc. So quickly on tomorrow's ball game, Gerrit Cole hasn't lost since May, what, like 2019 or so? It's been like 24, 25 starts now, 21 decisions in a row, whatever it's been in that neighborhood. How long, you know, what about tomorrow against Glasnow? Is the fact that Cole is on the hill, does that make you feel, is it an automatic win for the Yankees tomorrow, or does he lose eventually? He hasn't lost yet with the Yankees.
He's due, right? Due for a loss. The Yankees have to feel good, right? They didn't get a good start from Tanaka tonight whatsoever. Six runs and whatever, three-plus innings. That game was pretty much over then. Even though the Yankees did have a chance, I think they had bases loaded, one out in the seventh, but they couldn't get the runs across to tie the game up. So the Yankees have to feel good with Cole on the mound. But then again, last weekend in Tampa, he didn't make it through five innings. Pitched 4 1/3. He didn't pitch all that great either. Had trouble in that fifth inning with a big lead. So I don't think the Yankees can feel great about this. Generally, with the Yankees in Tampa, when they play at the Trop, it's all Tampa. When they play at Yankee Stadium, it's all Yankees.
Yep.
I believe the Yankees had won 23 of the last 35 games at the Yankee Stadium versus Tampa Bay. But Tampa wins tonight. Glasnow can pitch. We know that.
35-13.
Can he find the plate?
They were 35-13 the last 48 at Yankee Stadium against the Rays coming into tonight. And big dichotomy. And listen, but the Rays had beaten the Yankees in Tampa. But we can't say, well, not because of fans. Look, what do you make of that, Kurtz, that the Yankees were 10-0 at home without fans?
Well, listen, we know Yankee Stadium, right? The Happy Fun Bowl seems to be back. I don't know what you think about that. But these balls look, last year tonight, a couple of shots were like, wow. Those went a long way that I didn't see coming. I think the Happy Fun Bowl is back. Yankee Stadium plays to that. And let's face it, the Yankees are like that Bugs Bunny cartoon when Bugs Bunny's playing the Yankees have all those big, you know, burly, big-chested sluggers. It's what the Yankees do. And Yankee Stadium plays to it. The Trop does not.
Yeah, good point. Good point. George Kurtz kicking it with us. All right, George. So Fernando Tatis, for the Fernando Tatis story, he swings on a 3-0 pitch, bases loaded. We should note that it's a 10-3 game. So I want to give Grandpa's side of the story here a bit, that it was a 10-3 game. It's a beating. It's the eighth inning. It's a 10-3 game. And he swings at a 3-0 pitch. I guess technically you're not supposed to do that. I get it. Like by the old definition in the 50s and Casey Stengel and even into the 70s and Tommy Lasorda and Earl Weaver days. But the thing is, George, we're in an era right now where everybody hits home runs. Teams easily put up 5 and 6 spots and put up crooked numbers all the time, bro, in games. So I think it's ridiculous that people are this upset about it after. So let me just ask you about that, and we'll get into the unwritten rule part of it after. But what do you make of it? I mean, George, in the modern era right now, 10-3 is not that big of a lead, bro. Like, stuff happens at baseball games. You're on the road as well. They still have two more at-bats coming up. To me, it actually angers me that he actually apologized for this. What do you make of this?
Now, I am an old-school person. I do like a lot of the old-school stuff, but that being said, him swinging at a 3-0 pitch doesn't bother me in the least. Make better pitches. Don't go down 3-0. I mean, the way I look at it, and for a lot of the reasons you already mentioned, by the way, a 7-run lead is not inescapable. It's not a 13-run lead where you're never coming back. 7-run can come back. I already mentioned the Happy Fun Ball is back. I mean, listen to me, this ball is flying out of the box again. I had no problem with what he did. I mean, absolutely nothing, especially in this day and age, Gabe. I mean, think about it. These guys get paid on their stats. If you're going to throw a meatball down Broadway so he can hit a grand slam and get 4 RBIs, that's money in his bank.
Yeah, so what's he supposed to do exactly?
Doesn't bother me whatsoever.
He's supposed to stand there, and then they say
strike
after,
out?
And then they say after, oh, well, look, yeah, he only hit 176 with runners in scoring position. Yeah, because you told me not to swing. You know what I mean? Like, as if. So what? Like, imagine? So I don't understand his baseball mentality, George, either. So I was thinking about Kobe Bryant. So Kobe Bryant drops 81. Imagine, so I guess he broke a code, right? Selfish, right? You know what I mean? What were you doing? didn't need to score 81. You were showing everybody up, right? Will Chamberlain dropping 100. Wayne Gretzky. Should Wayne Gretzky have stopped? Should he have not have scored 92 goals because he was better than everyone else, George? It's sports, bro. It's sports. It's competition. And another thing is, people pay money, and people say, well, there's not fans there, whatever. You're paying cable. You know, people are paying to watch entertainment. They're not watching to watch some of the unwritten rules. So guys, stand there and don't perform. Continue this on the other side. This is why baseball sucks.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
All right, quick as 120 minutes of sport continues. Great job, Master Control, our main man Yang, Midtown Manhattan, getting it done. George Kurtz kicking it with us Long Island style here tonight. We'll get into the hockey. We'll get into some pucks. We talked basketball in the first hour of the program, but we're talking baseball right now. And, George, so the unwritten rules, so to speak, and, you know, especially like the more that we talk about this, because, you know, it's the playoffs going on right now. So I really did want to get to this story because it just pisses me off. I'm tired of this pantsification of everything that we live in now. And so I'm also tired of this crap. So if it's a blowout and you ground out and you don't run hard to first base, then you're a jerk. Yet if you try hard, then you're a jerk. It seems to me that these baseball rules are stupid. Like, and you know what? I hate to admit it, but I'm with these guys. I'm with Manny Machado. No, you don't have to run hard on every play. No, I'm going to be out. And I don't want to hear, well, he could have dropped it. Yeah, in a World Series game, you run hard. But I'm one of these guys, and you know me, Kurtz. I'm old school in a lot of ways, too. But I think a lot of this baseball stuff is stupid, in which... you want me to sprint down the line in case what? So I get on first base if he drops the ball. Like, you know, I get the player's perspective in a lot of this type of stuff. I really do. But the more it sinks in, George, 10-3 is nothing. Think about it. The Rangers had two more at-bats coming up, Kurtz. The Texas Rangers with a good offense. They're supposed to have a good offense. 7 runs, that's nothing. Like, I can't believe this is a deal. And then he says now, next time I won't swing. So what? Next time everyone gets a free pass against you when the bases are loaded? No. Like, that's a pile of crap, bro. It really is. And like I was saying earlier, this is why baseball has the problems that it does, right? Bryce Harper talked about this a couple of years ago. He said, you know, you watch football, you watch basketball, you see these guys celebrate and show their personalities, and it's great stuff. He goes, here, you know, people get mad if you flip a bat. You know what I mean? Look at the Tim Anderson dude in Chicago. Everybody hates this guy because he entertains and he wants to have fun. Baseball's got to get over this stuff, bro. Casey Stengel ain't walking through the door. Connie Mack ain't walking through the door. Those days are gone, Kurtz. It's a new era, bro.
Oh, it definitely is, right? I don't want to say we're in the showmanship era, but we see a lot of that. And I listen, some of that I don't mind. I'm not a big football.
You're a Dallas Cowboy celebration guy. You're all about showmanship.
Yeah.
You guys invented the touchdown dance.
I think I might give that to Billy White Shoes Johnson more than anything else, right? I liked his dance he did back in the day. Listen, I loved the Icky Shuffle back in the 80s. I actually learned that stupid little dance that he did there. Think of the Cowboys. The first one I can remember is Butch Johnson doing the California Quake. I'm just not a big fan of what they do nowadays, the hide-and-go-seek, the leapfrog. I think it's just kind of silly. I did like some of the Chad Johnson stuff that he would do, you know, golfing with the end zone marker there. I thought that was kind of funny. But generally, you know, when it comes to football, I'm just turning the channel and going to the next game anyway. I don't care about the celebration. I think the unwritten rules are silly. Once again, you're supposed to score. We keep mentioning this over and over again. Is a 7-run lead at Fenway safe? It's certainly not safe in Coors. I'm not sure a 17-run lead is safe in Coors Field. So I think it's silly. Once again, I don't know what Chris Woodward was trying to think of here. And what, by the way, did you see what happened today, what Tatis did? Technically, he broke another unwritten rule. They were up 6 runs in about the 4th inning. He stole third base. So technically, he broke another unwritten rule. I mean, you know, it's funny. If you're Manny Machado, you're like, oh, man, stop doing this while I'm at bat, buddy. You know, you keep getting me thrown at here. So I found that great, though, because I thought what you said earlier, that he should not have apologized. I think that's kind of silly. He did nothing wrong. And the next time the bases are loaded, the pitcher wants to put it right down Broadway, I hope he hits it 9 miles. Yeah, I truly do. Make better pitches. Blame your pitcher. Yell at your pitcher. Why are you going behind 3-0 when you're down whatever it was, 7 runs? Let him hit the ball. You know, and get out and get out of there. So I love the fact that maybe Tatis had second thoughts today, or maybe he didn't know that unwritten rule also.
No, but the thing is, and he said after, and Tatis said, listen, I grew up in baseball, and he goes, I know all these unwritten rules. He goes, and then he said, I made a mistake. He goes, I've learned from this. No. Like, back up. Like, you don't have to apologize for being good. This is competition. It's what America has been built on. It's like, well, I don't know, George. Like, look at the NHL playoffs, man. They're calling interference penalties now because someone skated in front of them and obstructed somebody. You used to be able to hit someone in the face with your stick. Now you skate past somebody, you give them a dirty look, and it's a penalty. The NBA, Porzingis got kicked out last night for showing emotion of a playoff game. Like, it's enough, man. Like, it really is. Like, this little girl soccer stuff has finally caught up to pro sports and is pissing me off. And, I mean, let me just read you some of the quotes here from other baseball players. Eduardo Rodriguez, baseball pitcher. 3-0 counts rule. He's a pitcher. You just have to pitch better. You don't want that to happen, but I never see that rule, and I take myself as an example. Because I'm the king of 3-0 counts. Here's Trevor Bauer. If there was a problem, that Trevor Bauer would have something to say about it? Trevor Bauer tweets at Tatis. Hey, Tatis Jr., listen up. Number one, keep swinging 3-0 if you want to, no matter what the game situation is. Number two, keep hitting homers, no matter what the situation is. Number three, keep bringing energy and flash to baseball and making it fun. Number four, the only thing you did wrong was apologize. Stop. Wow. Like, player, here's Colin McHugh, another pitcher. Swinging a 3-0 count should not be against any rules, no matter the score. Before a game, I would always look and see what the percentages of a guy's swing was when on a 3-0 count. If it's over 20%, it means I'm not just going to groove one. The guys who will never give you a pitch, by the way, are also the toughest at-bats to face, he says. These are pitchers, George, saying this. These are pitchers, George, saying this right now. Really? So what, one jackass manager doesn't like it? Like, this is ridiculous, bro. Like, it's ridiculous. It angers me, this type of stuff.
I don't blame you. Like I said, I think it should be celebrated, especially someone like Tatis, who someone baseball should be celebrating and trying to build around, by the way. He's an exciting young player. There was nothing wrong with what he did yesterday. There are many. I mean, during the break, I'm actually reading of other unwritten rules in baseball just to refresh myself. I mean, how do you feel about the unwritten rule of If a guy's got a no-hitter, you can't have a bunt to break it up.
My deal with that is, if it's a 1-0 game or a 2-0 game, I don't have a problem with a bunt. 6-0 game, you don't do it. You know what I mean? And George, yeah, if it's 1-0 or even 2 because that's tying runner, right? If it's a 2-0 game and we can't hit you, I don't give a crap if it's the 8th or 9th inning. I'll lay a bunt down to third baseline and get a guy on base, George. I don't know you, the pitcher, because you got to get a no-hitter. It's my job to get on base. It's Bush League if it's 6-7-0, George, right? But if it's a one or two run game, hell, I can make an argument even 3-run game, then I don't have a problem with it. You?
I don't. I would probably go up to a 4 runs because once again, base is loaded. That's the first. If you're the first batter, I don't have an issue with it. If you are a bunter, there's nobody in today's game who's a bunter. But Brett Butler back in the day, who would get, 25 bunt hits a year, something like that. That him doing it wouldn't bother me at all because the defense should be expecting it. You know he does.
I actually did it before. I actually did it when I was a kid. I was the leadoff hitter, and we just couldn't hit this kid, man. Like, kid was throwing like 88 miles an hour. Like, you know what I mean? And it was one of these deals. Everyone was striking out, and I knew. I did it in like the 5th inning or something like that. And I got hit after. I did get hit. They plucked me, and I wasn't too happy about it. The thing is, it was a 1-0 game when I did it, and I did not apologize after. I said, you know what? It's a 1-0 game. It's my job to get on base. It's whatever. It is what it is. I like what Trevor Plouffe says, retired player, because Rangers manager Chris Woodward on Fernando Tatis swinging. I don't like it personally. You're up by 7 in the 8th inning. It's typically not a good time. It's not the kind of way we were all raised in the game. But the norms are being challenged. Trevor Plouffe says, yeah, what we were taught that coming up, but it's okay to change when you learn the things that you were taught are stupid. I like that. And so I brought this anecdote up earlier, Kurtz. Frank Robinson, all right, who, dude, the guy's as old school and as hard ass as you get, okay? I mean, the guy, you know, the most valuable player in the National League and American League, first black manager. Guy's seen it all. He played through the racist era. He managed, like, you name it. He saw it in baseball. And same thing, George. It was the same thing, too. It was like 8-1. It was like a 6-7 run lead. I think it was exactly 8-1. And it was like the 8th inning. And the Expos stole second base in an 8-1 game. And Dusty Baker freaking lost it. Like, Dusty Baker's yelling and freaking out at Frank Robinson and stuff. And they're obviously friends. You know what I mean? They're both crusty, like, angry people. But whatever. So they're bitching and going off. And then after, Frank Robinson said, you know, what did you tell Dusty? We're in his office. And he goes, I told Dusty that if he's willing to sign a contract and send it over to our dugout, that says he's going to tell his players to roll over and I'll strike out on purpose and not try to come back and win the game, I won't send someone. And he goes, but since he didn't do that, he can basically F off. And then he said, you know, people say, oh, why did I send someone? Why did I steal a base? He goes, you ever seen our bullpen pitch? It was Rocky Biddle. The Expos just blew like a 5-run lead the night before type of thing. He goes, has Dusty ever seen our bullpen pitch? And then he goes, I've been in a game 50 years. He goes, there are no unwritten rules, all that code crap. He goes, they don't exist. We'll hit the pucks on the other side with Kurt.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
Sports Race Late Night continues. I'm Renzi. We're kicking it right now with George Kurtz. The show's just flying by tonight. I want to get to the pucks. We're just talking about the unwritten rules. The unwritten rules, so to speak, of baseball. And I was talking about, I had the opportunity of hanging around Frank Robinson for a couple of years. and, you know, told me great, great stories, like off the, some really good stuff, like when we were off, like not on the air, off the record. I used to just chill in his office. And so I really learned a hell of a lot about sort of, I guess, the rules and code of baseball, George, ironically. I learned the code of baseball, that there is no code of baseball, from Frank Robinson. But so here's a good one. 1964, Cincinnati Reds and the Philadelphia Phillies. Cincinnati Reds, Chico Ruiz steals home plate during a scoreless game while Frank Robinson is at bat in 1964. Robinson's their best hitter at the time. Evidently, stealing home in a scoreless game is a violation of the code, George. Like, really? Like, you know what I'm saying? Did you know that one?
I have never even heard that before. I'd like to hear the logic of why you can't steal home in a scoreless game.
Can't steal home in a scoreless game. Yeah. I guess it's considered a cheap way to score. Like I said, dude, like I get it, guys, in the 40s and stuff like that. And I'm seeing here Bob Gibson once hit someone for someone violating the code 15 years earlier. Nolan Ryan used to hit, like, no, if you bunted on Nolan Ryan, he would hit you. He thought it was an insult and a wuss if you bunted on him. So he was like, if you want to bunt, I'll hit you. So I don't know. Like, here's some of the unwritten rules. Don't spend too much time admiring your home run. Do you have a problem with stargazing with the ball, George? You have a problem with guys that watch their home run?
Well, I was a pitcher, you know, so yeah, I wouldn't be thrilled about it. I wouldn't. Because once again, if I strike you out, do you want to see me do the moonwalk on the mound? Probably not.
My deal is I don't care if you stare at the pitch, your hit. I get mad, though, when I see, like, you see it sometimes too, bro. Guys will, like, watch the hit, and it's not a home run. And it's, like, off the wall, and they only end up getting a single or something like that. It's like, dude, it would have been a triple if you would have hustled, right? But you watched it because you thought it was a home run. A guy did that in the playoffs a year or two ago. And it was bad. It was like, bro, you've got to run. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's the playoffs. Like, you know, there, to me, there's a code in the playoffs.
Did Acuna do that last year in the playoffs?
I think it was. You're right. It was Acuna. Yeah, yeah. And, dude, he got, like, a long single. Yeah, it would have been a double or a triple. Like, he just stood there and watched it, and, like, he was convinced there was a home run, and the ball just died. You don't know what it's going to do in the air, George. You might think it's gone, but, bro, you've seen it. The air just sometimes stops it. All right, so here's another one. Do not rub the spot where you were hit by a pitch. It's kind of dumb. So here, those are just sort of dumb old school ones. The only one, let me ask you about A-Rod. When A-Rod did the hay thing in Toronto, I think he was in Toronto that night, right? Remember it was a pop fly in the infield?
Yeah, I remember.
And A-Rod said, hey! It's like, he was rounding the bases, his buddy. That's kind of Bush League, isn't it, George? Like, to me, I would hit him for that. Like, you can't do that. What do you think of that one?
I think that is kind of Bush League. It's something I certainly wouldn't do. I'm surprised it bothered the fielders, though. I mean, with 40,000 people in the stands, I mean, how well can you even hear that? And nowadays, you know, with nobody in the stands, yeah, you can hear everything, and I can see it bothering you. I'm surprised that would fool the fielders. But, yes, I do think that's Bush League.
I did it to Kevin Millwood once. I was all drunk. I was at a game. I had money on it. Kevin Millwood was pitching, and there was no one in the stadium. It was in Montreal. And I was, like, literally front row above the dugout tight. I was really close to him. And right, like, mid-windup, man, I just said, hey, Kevin! And lo and behold, Kurtz. He hit the backstop. Like, it worked. And I did it again. And he came off, man. And he told me whatever. He had a few choice words for me. And he whipped his glove in the dugout. I heard it like, bam. Yeah, it was that quiet. So, yeah, he didn't see it coming, right? It was out of the blue. Cam was, like, nearly kicked out of a Blue Jay game for actually heckling a pitcher and trying to distract him too much. George Kurtz with us. All right, George. So NHL hockey. Listen, the sky hasn't fallen. The New York Islanders were in a nice position, up 3-0. Last year they swept the Penguins. So I was sort of looking for a sweep, and I took the Islanders tonight. And when I saw they were up 2-0, I'm like, wow, all right, man. These guys aren't playing around. It's just like last year, they're going to go for the sweep. But I don't know what it is about 2-goal leads in hockey, but they never stand. And, you know, the Capitals showed something and came back. And let me get Tom Wilson's quote after, but this guy's a big jerk anyways. But so what's Tom Wilson saying about they don't respect the Islanders, that they're soft? Like, he really should shut up. But whatever, the guy's a big jarhead anyway. So what's your take on the game?
Well, I think for the Islanders, I mean, I'm actually watching the game now, a little replay of it. They have to stay out of the box. Ovechkin with a power play goal tonight. Another goal came right after a power play. That was pretty much a power play goal. And the reason is because they can't score on the power play. That's the one little bugaboo for the Islanders through this playoff series and really even in the play-in round. The power play, like 1-for-14 in the series, whatever they were tonight, so 1-for-18, 19. They can't score on the power play. It is their bugaboo, and they have to stop putting the Capitals on the power play. I would say about 2/3 of the Capitals' goals in the series are on the power play. And I'll just stop taking two stupid penalties. They'll be just fine. Like I said, it's 3-1. It was 3-0. Teams don't come back for this. I don't see the Capitals winning 3 more games. I could certainly see them making it interesting, though, and making it fun and maybe winning Thursday night. But the Islanders should be okay. They learned this in the play-in round, right? When they lost, the one game they lost to Florida was a game they took a lot of dumb penalties. The next game, they clamped down and eliminated Florida pretty easily. I'm sort of expecting the same thing Thursday night. Trotz will have them clamped down. They should be fine.
Yeah, this is a situation, though, where you don't want – the next game's important. If they make it 3-2, then it's go time. Then it's real. You know what I mean? Then Washington's back in this. You know, the Islanders need to finish this off in the next game, Kurtz.
Oh, I agree. Because once again, if they lose next game, becomes 3-2, all of a sudden the Capitals have all the momentum. They're feeling it. And the Islanders start gripping those sticks a little tighter, right? You get a little nervous now, a little more pressure on you. Right now you're playing with house money. But you make it 3-2, all of a sudden this series gets a whole lot more interesting.
So the winner gets Boston and Carolina after the fact. How do you think the Islanders match up? It looks like Boston is going to win that series. Boston are a tough team to deal with, even without Tuukka Rask.
I believe the Islanders would actually get Philadelphia. Assuming Philadelphia beats Montreal and Tampa beats Columbus.
That's the
lowest seed left, and Philadelphia won.
Philadelphia.
They play interesting games. The Islanders in Philadelphia.
I never believe in Tampa. That's why. So you're right. So I guess we'll see what happens with Tampa and Club. Listen, Tampa are close to exercising their demon, though, right?
I mean, sometimes, Gabe, I wonder if me personally, am I judging Tampa too hard? Yes, they're going to beat Columbus, but it's not impressive. I mean, it's a win is a win. You win a playoff series, you win a playoff series, but I'm just not impressed. They are such a better team than Columbus, right? I just think they should be able to go in there and just wipe them off the face of the ice, right? Just win them 6-1, 6-1, 6-1, series over, let's go. And
I don't hold against them.
So, but are we judging too harshly?
A little bit, yes and no. I don't think so. You know what? I hear what you're saying. I feel the same way. I don't think they need to, like, Columbus are hard to score on. So I don't think, you know, they need to crush them, like, to, you know, win 5-0 to impress us, George. But at the same point in time, I think that they are worthy of being judged when you consider all the letdowns in the past, right? I mean, with great, what is it? Great power comes expectations, George, and responsibilities. You know, we're hard on them because they're supposed to be good. Right. I mean, that's why. I mean, we're not hard on the Panthers. We're hard on the Lightning because, you know, we have high expectations for them and they should have high expectations for them for themselves as well. But I'll tell you what, you know, a team that I'm super not impressed with and they're going to cruise through, but they're not. They don't look good to me at all. It's the Philadelphia Flyers. Like the Montreal Canadiens. Canadiens just skate around. Like, they just skate in circles. They don't shoot the puck at the net. There's never any legitimate scoring opportunities. like, I'm actually surprised here. Like, the Flyers, like I said, I don't know if I can be least impressed with a team that's up 3-1 in a playoff series than I am the Philadelphia Flyers, George.
I would agree. I don't think they've been truly tested yet. The Montreal Canadiens had a great series against Pittsburgh, but they haven't really done much. I mean, I think what? Philadelphia's only got 5 goals in the series. Something silly like that. They're up 3-1. And they're not scoring many goals, but Montreal can't do anything. I don't want to say Carter Hart or, you know, be bad. Maybe it's all him. He's playing great in net, too. He certainly showed up. And he's given the Flyers a presence in net that they probably haven't had since Ekstall, you know, as far as that's going on. So, but I agree. Right? Giroux's been invisible. He's on the back of a milk carton. I haven't seen Giroux in this series at all, really. You very rarely even mention his name when you watch the game. So their offense has to be better. It just has to be better. And the Islanders, listen, assuming it is Philadelphia Islanders, they'll challenge him because the Islanders can play defense, right? Trotz, that's what he does. I think it's a big knock on Washington when you look at them. You know, Trotz, great defensive system. Since he's left Washington, all of a sudden their defense not so good, and Holtby's an average goaltender. I think it's because of Barry Trotz and his system there. Philadelphia, I think, has done a great job. Once you get the goaltender, listen, you play hockey. When you have a good goaltender, you just feel better as a team when you know no stupid stuff is going to go in the net. You don't have to worry about every shot from the boards that might trickle through somebody. It's so disheartening. I think Hart has done well for that team, but I don't think Philadelphia gets their true test until the next round, the second round of the playoffs.
George Kurtz with us. All right, Kurtz, great stuff. Thanks for kicking with us in the late night hours. So before we get you out of here, first game up, we've got Columbus and Tampa, noon Eastern, early game here. Do you think the Lightning finish them off? What are you betting on tomorrow? What do you think about the hockey tomorrow? Columbus, Tampa, Carolina, Boston, Arizona, Colorado, and Montreal, Philadelphia. Man, we got a lot of games tomorrow, Vancouver and St. Louis, full slate tomorrow. Any best bets?
I do think as far as the 12 o'clock game, I think Tampa is going to finish it off, and I'm assuming the under is going to be over-run will be 5.5. I think it'll go under again. I just haven't been very, very impressed with either team's offense there. I think Colorado is going to walk all over Arizona. I think they're just a better team. I think that 7-1 score is not just an anomaly. I think that is pretty much how both teams are really stack up against each other. Colorado is the better team there. So I like Colorado to win there. I won't take the over-under there, but I will take Colorado there. Montreal and Philadelphia, you know, I'm going to leave it alone. I'm going to leave Montreal and Philadelphia alone. And I'm going to get Vancouver. They win tomorrow night.
I think Vancouver, good call. I think me too. That's the one to catch my. I think Vancouver do respond. I think they're in a good spot to bounce back. I tell you what, guys, the Montreal, you talked about it. The Flyers scored like 5 goals, yet they're up 3-1. The odds makers have finally caught up. FanDuel's posted a 4.5 for the total. 4.5. For the total of the Montreal Canadiens in the Philadelphia Flyers game. Catch George Kurtz, sportsgrid.com. Sports Rage Late Night continues. Vent your rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Sports Rage late night, 120 minutes, winding down. I see Chris Webber is trending on Twitter, and I don't get the Chris Webber hate, actually. And yeah, he can be a little bit long-winded at times, but there are far more annoying analysts out there than Chris Webber. Yeah, Chris Webber's just one of these dudes that, you know, once you become sort of the Twitter it dude, the Twitter it guy, then there's no turning back. Yet I've said this before and I'm going to say it again. All right. Well, first off, Twitter is a cesspool of stupidity. And it doesn't mean I'm not on it, but I guess I contributed to the cesspool of stupidity. But Twitter is a cesspool of stupidity. Yet I said this a million times and I mean this. Basketball fans are the stupidest of all the fans. Like, you get the worst takes in basketball. Like, people really are dumb. They don't really know anything. Like, they, you know what I mean? They think that somebody hits a three that they're a great player. Like, they don't know the sport very well, and they don't know anything. So I'm sure a lot of people kind of, like, I think a lot of Chris Webber is sort of defined by the timeout, that he took a timeout that Michigan didn't have yet. I don't think a lot of people realize, like, how good Chris Webber is. And Weber's analyst actually is good. Like, he drops a good basketball stuff in there about what you need to do and what you don't need to do. Yet, he can start telling too many stories and get off track a little bit. And he did get off track a little bit this evening. But as I said, I don't think people realize how damn good Chris Webber was. And it's one of those deals you should put some respect on his name when you look at the guy's career. And like I said, to me, he's very, very reminiscent of Zion Williamson. Their games are very similar as well, but Webber was actually better, right? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, guys, like, Webber was like the biggest name in college basketball, guys. And then Webber went to the NBA and lived up to the hype. Like, the guy was damn good. Chris Webber had a damn good NBA career. And if the NBA didn't screw over Sacramento, who knows what would have happened. But there's more annoying people on TV than Chris Webber. Like me. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.